You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by BioCleanTex.com on Sports Radio 610.
Biggest concern I have when you start talking about you don't care about play calling, you don't care about development, and there's nothing to really gain this season, is how much bigger does the gap get between Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson? Or even Kyler Murray and Deshaun Watson. Kyler Murray's arrow is pointing up. He's gaining valuable experience the rest of the season. And Deshaun Watson is basically playing with a dead coach waiting. I mean, Tim Kelly's not going to be here next year. He shouldn't be here next year. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have a new head coach. So does that gap widen? Because I think the biggest gap between the Texans and the Chiefs right now is the rest of the roster. I think that the Chiefs, and you've seen it, and we'll hear James Palmer talk about it, the Chiefs are in a position to where they don't need Pat Mahomes to be awesome for them to win.
Right.
They've built their defense to where they don't need that. They've got playmakers on special teams, whether it's an undrafted guy, Pringle taking him to the house the other day, or a second-round pick in Hardeman stepping up and making plays, or a first-round pick in Clyde Edwards-Helaire, or a free agent signing in Le'Veon Bell, or a third. Or I could go on and list their whole roster.
Sure.
That's a gap. But the gap between Mahomes and Watson is also troubling, and I think it's going to get even wider than it already is for the remaining nine weeks of the season.
See, the reason I don't care about play calling, I don't, the rest of this year anyway, I just don't want him to get hurt, and we've talked about it, is you have to recognize there's a gap. There is a gap right now. How much bigger it gets, I don't know. I mean, how do you put a percentage on that? What I'm saying is, just recognize that there's a gap. You know, Deshaun Watson is not in Patrick Mahomes' class right now. It's tough to say when you know Deshaun's talent. He's not in Lamar Jackson's. He may not even be in Kyler Murray's at this point. You just have to recognize that. And that's why we're in the place we are right now. That's why you're going to have a new head coach and a new general manager. So it's not like I'm not going to sit here, and I'm not saying you're doing this, but I'm not going to sit here and wring my hands and go, oh my, you know, they're passing Deshaun Watson. I don't mean to sound like our guy, Stanford Rout, who's going to be joining us tomorrow about this time, but guess what? They've passed you. They've passed Deshaun.
And guess what?
They've passed him. So you have to recognize it, accept it, and just hope that he catches back up.
Well, it's one thing to get passed, and I think they passed him last year, but it's another thing to get past and run out of gas on the track.
And you're saying fall further behind.
I'm just saying they're going to continue lapping you.
Yeah.
And at some point it's going to be and look, some coaches can come and you can get a Kyle Shanahan in and boom. Mm-hmm. It's a complete different situation.
And then he's right back up.
You got to bring that guy. But right now, they're not only passing you, they're passing you and you're out of gas on the track because you have mini-me Tim Kelly calling plays. You have a coach who isn't going to be here. And these guys are thinking about the Super Bowl and they're thinking about the final 9 weeks of the season as ways to get better, ways to develop good habits, ways for
I think I just have more confidence in this unnamed, unknown coach and general manager, but really the most confidence in Deshaun that he's going to get recharged. Because right now, no one recognizes, you know, the malaise that he's in more than Deshaun Watson. He flat out said, man, I'm tired. And that's after week 7. And he's not just tired physically. He's tired of all of it.
This is where Deshaun Watson sits right now, 7-plus weeks into the season, talking about how he's feeling mentally.
That's a lot. I mean, it's everything. Just from COVID to coaching change to losses to family. I mean, just everything. So it's a good time for me to be able to kind of decompress this bye week. Figure out, you know, the second half of the season, the body and mind, and just find some time and then come back to work and, you know, just try to finish it off as strong as possible. So that's what I'm definitely going to do for sure.
A little stressed? Yeah, it's going around.
That does not sound like a guy who's just raring to go, right?
So what are you going to do, Deshaun? What's the plan?
Rest. Pretty much rest. That's it.
That's where he's at. And the question is, then what? So you rest, then what? Then you have to go right back to that situation.
I mean, he's not dumb. He's gonna be safe too. We call them business decisions. I don't. In a situation like this, I wouldn't even criticize him. You know.
Oh, I don't want him running at all.
Exactly.
No, I don't want him running at all the rest of the season.
Exactly.
Develop as a passer. Do what you got
to
do.
Again, to me, that's part of that. Just recognize. You know, they pass me. I got to kind of hit refresh, not restart, because he's already, you know, progressed a lot as an NFL quarterback, but he hadn't really made that leap. You know, just kind of refresh, start over, dig into the new playbook, new offense, new gentleman, new coach, new personnel around him, and get going and make up as much ground as fast as you can. You want to be like that dude that we all saw in high school that gets the last baton on the 4x400 relay and starts making up ground on everybody.
You think Bill O'Brien has any, like, empathy or humility on this?
I was asked this last night.
You don't think he feels bad for what he's done and how he's left us?
At my son's engagement last night, a couple of people were fans and you know, Texans fans, and came up and asked me the exact same. Do you think he feels bad? Do you think he recognizes it? The answer is no. I think Bill O'Brien think he was wrong. I think he thinks had he just finally been able to. And I'm just guessing here, but educated guess. I think he thinks he's just
smarter than everybody. Still
smarter than everybody, and was wronged. Like, they should have given me more.
So
time.
You don't think that he looks, even on the Hopkins trade, you don't think he looks at that and says,
no.
"Damn."
No, it was in the best interest of the team. T E A M. I think he still believes that.
You don't think he looks at Deshaun Watson basically being exhausted, mentally drained, basically having to tread water for 9 weeks. And you don't think he looks at that and says, I feel bad about that.
He feels bad. No, but I'm talking about, does he think that he did things wrong here, that he made bad decisions? The answer is absolutely not.
I was having, like, some flashbacks yesterday when I was just thinking about this and just thinking about what a disgrace King Bill is and what a disgrace of an overall existence he is.
Mm-hmm.
And I go back to that Buffalo playoff game when DeAndre Carter just dropped the ball or whatever. If only they would have just called that a touchdown, and that comeback would have never happened. If JJ hadn't,
he'd have been gone.
If JJ Watt, and this is the irony of it, JJ Watt was aware of what a
bleep show
jackass a lot of people thought Bill O'Brien was. Like, I don't have a better word to think of. Yeah. I tried to, but he was aware of that. And he still rehabbed a torn pec to come back and basically help win that game and save his job.
That's a great point.
If only JJ hadn't rehabbed, and JJ just would have set out last year and not gotten that sack against Buffalo, and only if Deshaun wouldn't have done what he did, maybe this season would have started differently, because maybe O'Brien would have been fired after the Buffalo game and we would have never had to deal with this.
Yeah.
That's what stinks. And it stinks that you feel, because I think you're right, that Bill O'Brien...
Oh, he didn't do anything wrong in his view.
Well, that's
bad
messed
about
up
it.
Because you heard Smitty talk about it yesterday, Wade Smith talk about, you know, how he let emotion get in the way of the right decisions and stuff. It's sad for Bill O'Brien. He's going to be fine. He's going to be a millionaire, and he's going to be able to walk around, and he's going to be given opportunities to where, whether it's, I don't know if it's going to happen in the NFL, but whether it's at college, wherever it is, he's going to get opportunities to still feel the way he does about himself and feel like he invented football. But it's a damn shame that you don't think he can look in the mirror and say, man, I really screwed that up for Deshaun.
I screwed that up for JJ. That's a more educated guess than you think
it's messed up, dude.
What if Tom Herman gets fired?
Same guy.
And they hire Bill O'Brien.
They're the same guy.
They are the same guy.
I mean, it's the same guy.
They really are.
They have a lot of similarities. I can list them all, but I would rather not. So you have Deshaun with that mindset. Listen to where Pat Mahomes is 7-plus weeks into the 2020 season. So this is Pat Mahomes on Sports Radio 610, the Kansas City version, talking about the culture of the Kansas City Chiefs and what his goals are moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a tribute to the culture that we have here, and that we do things the right way, and we're giving ourselves chances to be in these big games and to be in these matchups against the best teams in the league. And guys want to be here. They want to be a part of this culture. They want to go out there and have a chance at making a run at the Super Bowl, and I'm excited that we're getting a lot of great football players in, and we're going to try to keep continuing to build and get more championships. Win the most of those, I mean, that'd be awesome. I understand it's going to be a hard thing to do, but I'm up for the challenge.
He's talking about Le'Veon Bell deciding that he wanted to go to Kansas City, and that's the other thing that it can be difficult for a GM, whatever GM takes over this Texan situation. Le'Veon Bell, by the way, 6 carries, 39 yards, 6.5 average the other day. It looks like they might know what to do with him.
What they're doing.
But your job almost becomes easier because, and I don't want to say easier in every way, because you're drafting later and all that, but your job almost becomes easier because guys want to play there. Mm-hmm. And they want to play there for the least amount of money. If you have a culture like the one that King Bill built here, which is trash, right, then you're never going to get a bargain. That's why Bradley Roby, if you look at his contract, he's really the only guy you can look at outside of maybe Justin Reed on his rookie deal, and even he's playing bad. But you can look at him and say, that's a bargain. There's only one guy on this entire roster that is a bargain. And that comes down to evaluation of players. And that comes down to players wanting to play for you because they want to be there. They want
that
to
culture.
Play there. They want to live that culture. Mm-hmm. They're not saying 7 weeks into the season, I'm effing tired. I want to go home and sleep. Everything, yeah. I'm mentally drained. They're saying, I want to go to work. I want to be in those meetings. I want to hear those coaches talk. I want to hang out with those players.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. Meanwhile, in Kansas City or in Houston, King Bill's done what he's done.
It's true, but that's why, you know, I'm more encouraged about moving forward because at least.
But you got 9 weeks of treading water.
This is like
you're getting a divorce, but you have to stay under the same roof with the person that you're getting divorced from for 9 weeks.
Yeah, and you know what you do?
That's not good for your mental. You just heard the quarterback say he's not mental. That's not good for your mental.
But what you can do after you take a step back, and that's why the bye week's actually a good time.
What's Deshaun going to do, sleep on the damn couch? The
players are going to take a step back and just kind of shrug and make the best of it, which is what you would do in that divorce, have to live in the same house scenario. You just kind of shrug and make the best of it. Let me ask you this, just flat out.
What's Deshaun going to do, try to get the dog?
Give me a number, not who should go, who could go. What do you think the turnover is going to be on this roster?
Everybody. Oh, roster?
On the roster.
I'm cutting everybody. I've saved $21
million. Mm-hmm.
I'm cutting everybody.
But realistically, you get a general manager and a new head coach. I'll bet you there's going to be at least 20 new
faces.
There's
going to be at least 9 new starters.
I think at least 20 new faces on the roster.
8 new starters.
20 new players on the roster. That's a total redo, man. I can go through the roster. You want to go through the roster real quick in a second?
Let's do it coming up.
I can tell you.
I want to go through and say who stays and who goes.
And Figgy, I want you to mark it because I want to see how right I am. I think there's going to be at least 20 new faces on this roster. 20 faces gone. I'll put it that way. 20 players gone, at least. It's going to be that. They're that bad. They are. I said it yesterday. They're bad.
When you take pride in guys like DeAndre Carter and Tywan Jones and all that, like, this is a situation.
20, I might have undershot it at 20.
Brennan Scarlett started here 2 years.
I'm looking at the roster right now.
2 years, John.
Yeah.
I love
John McClain thinks Kahale Waring can bring a better trade value than Kiki QT. What is going on there?
713-572-4610. We're going to revamp the Texans roster. Also hear from you as well. In the Loop continues next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, let's fix the roster right now. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Trade deadline a week away. We're looking to 2021 for the time being. John McClain says he doesn't think that this roster is as bad as many do. I disagree. As a matter of fact, I think the biggest problem with the Texans is depth on the roster. I think they've gotten rid of talent consistently, and they've brought in guys and kept those guys around, most importantly, for multiple years to where the talent just drops off significantly. Brennan Scarlett should never start 2 years on an NFL team without any injuries. He should be on an NFL team. He should be a part of special teams. He should be a rotational guy. He should never start an NFL defense for 2 years. Some of these corners, these guys don't even belong in the league. No. There's a reason nobody wanted Vernon Hargraves. Gary and Conley, the Raiders basically sent a limo to you the week that you played him so that he could get there. Eric Murray, $6 million. That's laughable. it's not a good roster, but John McClain doesn't think it's that bad. Let's just go through and let's take a close look at it.
I'll put it this way, I know we all have holes in our game in terms of what we do for a living here. I can tell you this. I've been doing this for 35-plus years. I know what a winning roster looks like. I may not know a lot, but I know what a winning roster looks like, and this is not one. And I'm not rewriting history here. You know, I've been telling you guys, you particularly, Landry, since before the season. I mean, after a playoff season when they were within three quarters of an AFC championship game, I do not and did not like this roster. It's not a winning roster. So right before the break, I said, I'll bet you there's going to be 20 new faces on this roster next year. I just kind of scribbled down a little quick homework assignment. This is the easiest homework I've ever done. There's at least 20 players. There's going to be at least 20 new faces on this roster next year. Now, I know sometimes math gets in the way and that contract isn't so bad. Let's ride it out another year. But I can go through some names right now. I mean, I'm not going to keep count, but David Johnson's gone.
Gone.
Brandon Cooks.
He could be back.
I think he's gone.
It's $12 million not guaranteed, so you could restructure a deal. If him and Watson get on the same page, you could have Cooks here.
Kelamete.
Kelamete is gone. You gotta develop Max Sharping and hope that goes. Although they did restructure his deal, so
see that's the kind of math I'm talking about.
You only save $1.75 million.
But as a player,
as a starting left guard,
as a guy, no, he's not good. It is, again, I don't know a lot, but I know what a winning roster looks like, and this is not it. Okay, and then you got all the backups that are going to be gone for sure. Farrell Brown. Buddy Howell, this is his third year. He's tried. He ain't gonna make it with a new staff. You know, Brett Cavalli, Charlie Heck, all those guys.
Charlie Heck might be here, but
I mean, I don't know. I guess he's a pick. He's a pick. DeAndre Carter's gone.
You sure?
Yes. I think it's possible Duke Johnson is gone.
I think Duke Johnson could be back, but it's going to be a restructured deal because you save $6.9 million cutting. Right. No, that's David Johnson, but Duke Johnson, it's around $5 million. It's $5.1 million. You're not paying Duke Johnson $5.1 million. You cut him, and maybe he re-signs for a few million, and you keep him around. But nah, he's making right now, no.
So that's about six or eight. That's the offense, man. That's about six or eight new faces players that are gone. That's just the offense. You ready for the defense?
Yeah,
I mean, PJ Hall.
Yeah, I think you could bring him back.
He'll be a backup at best.
He's been all right.
Merciless?
You have to. $14 million hit.
Yeah, he's gone.
Gone? How?
I think you can trade him. I think the new staff tries to trade him.
Luck with that.
But that has to happen in the next week is what I'm saying. Eric Murray.
$6 million he counts against. You have to bring him back.
He ain't going to be back. He's not good enough. Sometimes you just bite the bullet. He's not good enough. They didn't even know who he was in Cleveland.
The sideline reporter.
They didn't. The sideline reporter.
He wasn't trying to be funny.
Didn't know who he was. Vernon Hargraves.
Please go.
And then all the Gary and Conleys and Keon Crossens and Cornell Armstrong.
They didn't pick up Conley's fifth-year option. They don't like the way he plays, and they also don't like the way that he's rehabbed.
I think Jacob Martin could be gone, but he's
back.
He's probably going to be back. Dylan Cole's gone.
Well, they like him on special teams.
That was the last staff. You know, they also used him on in scrimmage plays, and that's a big hit right there. Bernardrick McKinney
gone. You save $6-7 million.
Carlos Watkins, I think you saved there. Philip Gaines, dude, there's gonna be at least 20 new faces.
Brandon Dunn, you save $4 million.
I meant Brandon. I didn't
Nick
say Brandon
Martin.
Dunn.
You didn't even mention. You saved six.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just don't know where John McClain compares this to the 2-14 Gary Kubiak and then Bill O'Brien turnaround. It's not the same thing. Like, huh. That team had some young talent.
Sure as hell didn't turn around 20 players.
That team had young talent.
Yeah.
Like, you had one of the best defenses in the NFL when healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you won the first division. JJ was defensive player of the year in 2015. The rest of the division, Andrew Luck was banged up, so you had Hasselbeck. Zach Mettenberger was starting. Blake Bortles was a rookie starter, and the coaches were terrible. So there, I feel like the talent on that 2-14 Texans team was misleading.
Yeah.
And I feel like the rest of the talent in the division made it to where you could make a jump like that, especially if you were healthy. And we keep saying they won it with Ryan Fitzpatrick. All right, like,
yeah.
Can we put that in perspective? Like, no, you don't want, in a perfect situation, you don't want Ryan Fitzpatrick as your starting quarterback, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But tell me which one of these quarterbacks you'd rather have than Ryan Fitzpatrick. Matt Hasselbeck, Blake Bortles, and Zach Mettenberger, and Andrew Luck pretty much having to eat his lunch out of a straw,
drink his lunch out of a straw. Yeah, that Andrew Luck.
That was the Andrew Luck that it mentioned that in 2016 he had to, that's why he retired. Like, so, okay, he won with Ryan Fitzpatrick. All right. Yeah. Tell me who you, in the division that they played
facing,
in,
yeah.
Tell me who would you rather have Ryan Fitzpatrick, a younger Ryan Fitzpatrick, than Zach Mettenberger?
No.
Would you rather have a younger Ryan Fitzpatrick than Blake Bortles?
No.
As a rookie, even. Would you rather have him than a 40-year-old Matt Hasselbeck? Would you rather have Matt Hasselbeck?
No.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. No. It's
I don't think there's any comparison to that.
It's optimistic and good for McClain for being optimistic that these things can change, but this thing cannot change.
It can change.
No, but this cannot.
The right coach can come in here and change it, and if they start evaluating players, it can change.
Right.
But there's no comparison to how it would change and what happened with Bill O'Brien.
With this team,
that's not the same thing.
And you know, to say that Kahale Waring can bring more trade value than Kiki QT, you know, that's another
thing. That was what McClain said.
That's what McClain said. That's
that really rubbed you the wrong way. You were upset with that.
Well, I pushed right back on it, as I like to do with McClain, because that's just ludicrous. Kahale Waring has, what has he played, one series?
In 2 years? No, he's never played a series.
I thought he got on the field.
He was on punt block.
Oh, okay. That's what I was talking about.
He never played an offensive snap, ever.
He was on punt block.
He's never played an offensive snap.
Once in 2 years.
He has not played an offensive snap.
And McClain,
and you just heard McClain say he's healthy, too. Yeah. So you're telling me that someone's going to want to trade for this guy when Pharaoh Brown comes off of practice squads and is doing more than him?
Yeah. But he can bring more in a trade than Kiki QT. That's ludicrous. Kiki QT had, what, an 11-catch game and a 12-catch game 2 years ago? Last year? Whatever. And is certainly, you know, has some tape on film of what he can do to a guy that's played one series.
The other thing that really troubles me about this team is that the snaps that they have between rookies is dead last on both sides of the rock. 0% on offense.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the New Orleans Saints, Michael Thomas is whining his way or trying to whine his way out of town. Some undrafted rookies coming in there having damn near 100 yards receiving.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's the whole J.J. Watt thing, which I know we've mentioned here and there, but it's worth revisiting right now. And that is McClain saying unequivocally, J.J. Watt is not going to be traded. I think that's a dereliction of duty by the Texans. Whoever's making that decision, I think it's a dereliction of duty. You want to build this team forward, you got to get assets. And the best way to get those assets is J.J. Watt.
Evaluate players, man. Like, we're talking about a terrible running back situation where we don't think either one of these guys are going to be back. Behind Derrick Henry, the Colts have Jonathan Taylor doing very well for them as a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
The Jags have some guy who wasn't even drafted.
He's in Rookie of the Year competition.
James Robinson wasn't drafted, and he's starting.
Yeah.
The rookies they don't know anything.
We got David Johnson.
What are we doing?
We got David Johnson.
What are we doing? This guy wasn't drafted, man.
Yeah.
That's 481 yards rushing. He's averaging 4.5 yards a carry. 4 touchdowns.
Well,
wasn't even drafted.
How much David Johnson got?
What is he up to now? He's still not over 400 yards, right? I think it's 392, something like that.
This guy wasn't even drafted.
Yeah, but David Johnson has 392 yards rushing.
You really had a coach who said rookies don't know anything. That really happened.
I know.
And he knows everything.
Rookie, Locker, just, they don't know anything.
John Lopez with you here on Sports Radio 610 713 572 4-6. 1-0. We'll put a bow on the show, and we'll tell you what you need to know heading into tonight next.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Texans assistant coaches are speaking right now. Man, Bill O'Brien's got a fan in John Perry. John Perry, the receiver coach for the Houston Texans, asked about Bill O'Brien being fired, quote, "To me, he's always been the same person. I've known him for 40 years. Jeez. Always the same guy. Why we had so much success. No better leader than him in adverse times. Penn State, always a guy who battled back. He was always the first guy to give people accolades. It was difficult for me on a personal level. He's a resilient guy. He'll prove it again. Everybody in the building knew where they stood when Coach O'Brien was here. That's why we had success. I'm proud of what Coach O'Brien has done." It's pretty obvious that John Perry is going to be a member of King Bill's staff if there is another one.
He's working on his resume. I mean, he's doing what all the coaches in there are doing. I'm glad you brought this up. That's an illustration. It's not just the players that are trying to get good stuff down on film or already are working on their next move. Coaches are too, and that was strategic. Clearly having Bill O'Brien's back, clearly saying, wherever you go, I'm going to stay with you, buddy.
He was a head coach for 5 years at Merrimack.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that?
I don't know where Merrimack is.
Merrimack, I don't know. He's 29 and 21. Before that, he coached at New Hampshire, Hofstra, Georgetown, Dartmouth, Brown, Northeastern. So that's how long he's known Bill O'Brien. Another one of Bill O'Brien's buddies that was on the staff. So you have that. There is a fan
Andover,
of Bill
Massachusetts.
O'Brien in town.
Go figure.
Okay.
So that's where he spent a lot, cut his teeth and spent a lot of time up in the Boston area.
There we go. So that's probably going to be a guy that's going to be on O'Brien's staff. You would think maybe Tim Kelly's going to be one of those guys too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing is, you know, a lot of these guys, they really aren't – they're not qualified NFL coaches.
Mm-hmm.
They just – like Tim Kelly was not going to call plays anywhere except Houston. His qualification was he followed around Bill O'Brien for 10 years. And that's what scares me when you talk about – you know, you're through judging Tim Kelly's play calling and you're through with that. It concerns me because while you can say, well, there's nothing to gain, I feel like there's something to lose because guys like Pat Mahomes mm-hmm. are building good habits and Deshaun Watson and some of these Texans players, these young players are developing bad habits. And I just don't know if there's, is there a shelf life that, like, does it completely go away after an offseason, or does some of this stuff linger?
Yeah. Some of this stuff might linger, but you know, the interesting thing on John Perry is it's certainly understandable why he has Bill O'Brien's back. You know, they brought him from the Delaware Blue Hens passing game is where he was before he got with the Houston Texans.
Who?
John Perry.
Who?
He was the quarterback and passing game coordinator for the Delaware Blue Hens.
Who? And then he got an NFL gig.
Well, they grew up together, he and Bill O'Brien. They were together at Brown University. Isn't that the biggest of red flags ever? You're a head coach in the NFL, and you're bringing in the dude from the Delaware Blue Hens that you grew up with.
Bringing the homies in.
I mean, I watched the Rams yesterday. And this was supposed to be a team that was just dead. You know, their salary cap situation, they were supposed to be dead. They lost Todd Gurley, who was one of the best running backs in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Got rid of Brandon Cooks for a second rounder to the Texans. You know how crisp that looks? You know how nice that looks?
Yeah.
And you know what Sean McVay did, who's been like boy wonder, youngest NFL coach of all time?
What?
He hired an offensive coordinator he never worked with.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Kevin O'Connell, come on down. I want you to coach." And by the way, I think he deserves some consideration for the Texans.
Mentioned here and there.
Yeah, I think he's a 4 seed on our Sports Radio 610 bracket. But he's willing to do that. And you have this Perry guy from Boston
mm-hmm.
and Tim Kelly, who just followed him around all these times. Unless it's just a Patriot retread, the whole coaching staff is just filled with guys who just follow Bill O'Brien alone.
But why are you that? It just boggles the mind. It's like, well, I knew him when we were kids. Oh, okay, hire him. I got some dudes that I grew up with. You definitely don't want doing radio with them. You don't want to be doing radio with them. That's for darn sure.
Listen to the difference in, you heard Deshaun Watson say he's tired, he's exhausted, he's mentally drained, he wants to rest. Listen to what's happening to Pat Mahomes mentally compared to Deshaun 7+ weeks into the season. This is James Palmer, who used to work in this very city, now with the NFL Network, talking about the Chiefs' last game against the Broncos, in which Pat Mahomes really didn't have to do much, and he is A-okay with it.
We know the talent is through the roof. We know he's arguably the best player in all of football. But this game and last week against the Bills are direct examples of how he's growing and just becoming a winner and, in times, a game manager, which is fine. He realized that it was out of hand early. They were up 10-6 and punted at the end of the first quarter. He got back on the field with just 4 minutes to go in the half. They were up 24-9, and he didn't do anything. So he talked to Tyrann Mathieu, actually, before they both spoke with us afterwards. And he was telling Mathieu, you know, young me 3 years ago would have probably still continued to force a couple of balls, make some throws, try to make plays, and maybe throw a bad interception. He said, now I realize, take a sack, you throw the football away, you manage the game because you know the other phases are playing well. The same thing happened against the Bills, where he had several RPOs that he had to keep telling himself, I need to hand this football off. Wins are the most important thing, not statistics. He can still put up the big numbers, but at times they're not needed.
That's reaching another level, right? A Super Bowl winning quarterback going to an even higher level, because it goes back to, what else does he need to prove? Nothing. He just needs to add on it. And so he's willing to do whatever it takes.
The talent around Pat Mahomes is a bigger gap than the talent around Deshaun Watson.
You think?
It's the biggest gap. And I did some, I just decided to do some research on the offenses. The Texans have used, and that means trade, or actually made the selection, 11 draft picks to build their offense. 11.
Okay. How'd that work out?
You watch them every Sunday, John. You tell me. They've used 11 draft picks. The Chiefs have used 6.
Really?
The Texans have used 6 firsts, 3 seconds, and 2 thirds. 6 firsts, 3 seconds, 2 thirds. The Chiefs have used 4 firsts, 1 second, and a third. The Chiefs have 6 free agent signings.
Mm-hmm.
The Texans have 2 free agent signings.
Hmm.
And when it comes to, some people say, well, what about the multiple draft pick? For example, you pretty much use 2 draft picks on Watson and Mahomes because you traded the first and you used the first.
Right, right, right.
So there's what that is. 11-6.
That's embarrassing, to be honest. I mean, I know the offense is the strength, air quotes, of this team, and Deshaun is going to be able to do a lot of things with the offense. But the complementary pieces aren't even in the same league. I mean, you can go piece by piece.
Well, just go with the tight ends. Is Travis Kelce good?
He's pretty good. He's all right.
He was a third-round pick. Yeah. You used a third-round pick on
John Dorsey, by the way.
Yeah. He used a third-round pick on Jordan Akins and Kahale Waring. So you've used 2 third-round picks at the tight end position. The Chiefs have used 1, Travis Kelce. I'd say they got the edge there.
I would say so.
The wide receiver position. You look at the wide receiver position with the Kansas City Chiefs and the Houston Texans. The Texans used a first on Will Fuller.
Mm-hmm.
You traded a second for Brandon Cooks. We'll just go 3 deep.
Okay.
And
Randall Cobb,
you basically just spent a lot of money.
Yeah.
The Chiefs used a 5th on Tyreek Hill, a 2nd on Nicole Hardeman, and they paid Sammy Watkins. Look at the gap there.
Yeah.
The quarterback, you pretty much did the same thing. So you can't knock that.
Yeah.
The Texans' offensive line, not as good as the Chiefs. And this is where you go back to scheme. They've used all those draft picks on the offensive line. We've listed them at nauseam. The Chiefs have one guy who was a number one overall pick in Eric Fisher, and everybody else was just a free agent acquisition, like a middle tier type.
Yeah.
Like not
it,
like
it was more talent evaluation.
It was more talent evaluation to build the offensive line.
Yeah.
Running back. Chiefs used a first round pick on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and they signed Le'Veon Bell. Texans used a 3rd-round pick on Duke Johnson, and they traded DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson. It's really like that's where the gap is. And the thing about it is you talk about like how quick you can turn it around. And you can turn it around. Like you can get a boy wonder like a Sean McVay to come here, and it can look different. But you're still going to have holes on your roster, and those holes aren't fixed just based on player evaluation and scheme. It took the Chiefs a few years to build that. And It took the Texans a few years to screw that up. So that's where you kind of start chasing your tail. And who knows if by the time that happens, you just heard Pat Mahomes and what he's doing and what Deshaun Watson's doing. By that time, Pat Mahomes might have the luxury to have like a Tom Brady-like mind, where all of a sudden Deshaun's not going against a Pat Mahomes who has as much experience with him. He's going against a Pat Mahomes who has a whole year on him where he's doing this, and Deshaun's having to learn from Bill O'Brien's buddies from Boston and Tim Kelly.
Right.
And he's fighting more of an uphill battle. Like, you don't just get to wipe the slate clean. The work that Kansas City's done continues. The work that Baltimore's done continues. And that's why this quick turnaround thing is,
yeah,
you hope, and there have been examples of it.
I mean,
but
you can get better.
A lot against it.
You can get better. It's just too steep of a hill to climb, talent wise. And you can get. See, I do agree. It doesn't take long, you know, in the NFL. You can get a new kick-ass, you know, general manager and head coach, does some good talent evaluation, like what you're talking about with the Chiefs offensive line, brings in a running back, maybe drafts, you know, somebody solid in the third round, massages the cap, gets some good players in, and you can get there in 2 or 3 years. But you know, this roster's too far gone to think that you'll be there next year. And again, it goes back to the JJ Watt thing. You know, does JJ Watt want to wait 2 years? Maybe 3? That's why you got to trade him.
And I mean, that's why, yeah, I don't like the Laremy Tunsil trade. I would feel much better, and as good as Laremy Tunsil is, I would have felt much better. Again, not with O'Brien drafting, because he doesn't know what he's doing. And he's such a meathead that he just basically looks down upon rookies and doesn't give them a chance to produce. So yeah, not with him drafting, but if Brian Game were still here or something like that, I think having those 2 firsts and those 2 seconds that could be potential impact players, I think they could fill some holes on the roster. And maybe one of those holes would be a tackle who makes less money that's not as good as Laremy Tunsil. But I just feel like you have 3 glaring holes and you basically traded it for 1, where when you factor in also how bad Bill O'Brien is schematically, it's an uphill battle there. He's just a mess. And I can't believe you don't think that he's like, I don't see how he's not sitting at home saying, man, I should have done this differently.
No. I think he feels like he was wronged. I really do. Just, I should have had the whole year. We were going to turn it around. I think
the schedule was hard.
Schedule was tough. I made the right decisions. Trading this and trading that were the right decisions. I was wrong. I'm just telling you what I believe. And I, knowing his personality, I think that's true. He's not going to say, boy, did I screw that up. He has said that they haven't reaped the rewards. He said that in his parting farewell, you know, press conference there. But he's not going to fall on the sword in terms of I did wrong.
Do you think he still thinks that you evaluate trades over time? Like, does he still think that we need like some time to evaluate the DeAndre Hopkins trade?
He probably thinks he's going to be proved right eventually.
Was Ross Blacklock going to become Warren Sapp?
Yeah, all of a sudden he's going to be that. It's crazy. I'm just telling you, that's the way he feels.
And you're not going to criticize Tim Kelly play calling no matter what. That's the end.
Oh, if it starts working against Deshaun Watson, I'm certainly going to criticize it. But in terms of football reasons, I could care less what Tim Kelly could do, what he calls. As long as he doesn't hurt anybody, he could call the annexation of Puerto Rico. I'm not gonna criticize it. Shout out to Little Giants. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they're calling on offense right now. They're going to be a whole new regime come the offseason.
You think players stop listening to coaches when they know this stuff?
Yes. They're going to go through the motions. They're going to make it look good on tape. I'm looking forward to hearing from Stanford Route tomorrow, because he's gone through this a couple of times, and he's going to be able to give us some real insight. And I think they're going to make it look good on tape. They're going to try to play well enough to stay employed next year. But they're certainly going to make some smart business decisions.
We're like exactly almost 7 days away from the trade deadline. If we're talking here and we're sitting here in front of each other getting ready to do a show and not a single trade is made, what are you going to be saying?
A week from now?
Yeah, if a week from now, trade deadline would be, I think, 10 minutes away from being done. What are you going to say if the trade deadline comes and goes and no trade's been made.
It was a dereliction of duty. They didn't do their job. If they're going to do their job, I'm talking about Cal McNair now, because he's going to ultimately have to tighten the screws, if you will, on making this a trade happen. Probably J.J. Watt would be the best. You wouldn't be doing your job. You have a head start. You have a chance to get some assets when people are willing to overpay. If you don't do it, you're not doing your job. Flat out.
Will there be a press conference if they make a trade?
Not if they don't do anything. They'll just let it go.
But if they make a trade, is Easterby going to have to go up there and answer questions?
Is it going to be Easterby or is it going to be someone else?
What would your first question be to Easterby if you had a question with him?
If it's post-trade, I think it would be pretty straightforward. If he has a press conference after no trades, I mean, I don't know if it'd be my first question, or I think the first question should be, you know, why were you unable to pull off a deal when it was clear teams were willing to overpay for your asset?
You think we should have heard from him by now with him taking over after O'Brien got fired?
Probably. I think in most organizations you would have heard from the general manager, the interim general manager. What are you going to do? Where you go from here? What are your thoughts on the roster?
I mean, especially if you're going to be EVP, right?
Especially if you've already been tabbed that you're going to stay in the organization, though I don't think he's going to.
I mean, you're the interim GM. Shouldn't you face some sort of fire? I don't think he'd want to, and I don't blame him for not wanting to. I'm just saying it seems like kind of standard procedure in other cities.
It is. It is. It absolutely is.
Mm-hmm. But, hey, shout out to Jack. If you can do it, do it. If you can do it, do it. Shout out to all the loopholes, too. If you listen, you are a loophole. We'll be on tomorrow. It's going to be hump day. It's going to be WSW. Don't forget, root for the Rays tonight. The official pitcher of In the Loop, Blake Snell, on the mound. We don't want the Dodgers to pop bottles. Hopefully, we're not talking about the Dodgers being the World Series champs. And I got a feeling we'd have some audio if that did happen.
Are they going to do champagne? Smack.
Why would they care about rules if after you win the World
this
Series?
This is true. Yeah, this is true.
I know they're not supposed to, but after rules, who gives a damn? Mm-hmm. For the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, thanks to John McClain for hopping on. I'm Landry Locker. This has been another edition of In the Loop. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10, but in the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley are next.
Thank you, Peggy.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.